up. It's so good to connect in worship, but also the Word of God. We need those things in our life to continue to grow in our walk with Christ, to make that engagement, and the fellowship of God's people. We need that as well. So thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us online. Encouraging you, if you can, get back here when you can. If you're listening online and it's been a while since you've been here, maybe you feel like you can't come into a space with other people, please come to the drive-in church next weekend. It's going to be great, actually. We broadcast the worship on the FM radio station, and then we do the message from the steps. And we're going to have communion. So maybe it's been a while since you've had communion. This would be your opportunity. We'll bring it to your car. It's going to be a good time. So we've been in a little bit of a message series called Mountain Movers, and we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11, kind of the hall of faith, the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews 11. And this week we're going to be talking about Moses. He's the hero of faith we're going to check out this week. And this happens about 400 years after Joseph. Pastor Fred talked about Joseph last week, and he did a great job. If you missed that message, you can hear it online. But about 400 years later comes Moses. And there's been a few changes in Egypt. The Israelites, under the favor of Joseph, were able to live peacefully in the land and grow and prosper. Well, they really grew in numbers, and the Egyptians began to fear them, so they began to oppress them and eventually enslaved them. And so there's really been a change when Moses comes on the scene. And when I was reading in Hebrews 11 on the Moses part, there's seven verses that kind of talk about the Moses story. Something really sort of jumped out at me. And it's parts of three different verses that really show us that it's more than about Moses. So Moses' walk of faith was really more about him, more than just about Moses. It's actually about several different parts of Moses' life. And if we can get those three verses up there, I think you can kind of see the difference. So Hebrews 11, 23, look at this. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. So it isn't just about Moses' faith. It's also about his parents' faith. And then verse 24, by faith, Moses exercised his faith when he had grown up. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I like that phrase, when he had grown up. Because the subtitle of the message today is, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Because Moses exercised his faith when he had grown up. And then look at this in verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. So can you see the progression here? From Moses' parents to Moses to the people of God exercising their faith. When I see the reference to the Red Sea story, it reminds me of a story I heard years ago about Little Timmy's Sunday school class. Now, Little Timmy's Sunday school, their church happened to be near a seminary in town, and so they invited one of the professors to come over and share in Timmy's Sunday school class. Well, this was kind of a little more of a liberal seminary in the way they approached the Bible. And he shared the Red Sea story, and little Timmy raised his hand and was so excited. And he said, isn't that great? God did a miracle. All of the Israelites were able to go across the Red Sea on dry land. And the professor kind of stopped and said, well, not exactly. It wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And the water was only 1 foot deep. There was no miracle there. Little Timmy paused and thought for a second, and then he got excited again, and he said, isn't it a miracle? God drowned all those Egyptians in just 1 foot of water. There was a miracle there, no matter which way you look at it. As we look at the verses in Hebrew and see the progression of faith in Moses' life and those around him, I hope this one phrase will ring in your ears today and as you leave church today. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Moses had to grow up in his faith. He was on the 40-40-40 plan. Here's what I mean by that. Moses lived for 120 years, and his life was kind of segmented in 40-year segments, okay? So the first 40 years, if you've read the Moses story, in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The first 40 years, Moses was rescued from the Nile River, right, by Pharaoh's daughter. And for 40 years, he lived in Pharaoh's house, enjoying the favor of Pharaoh as one of Pharaoh's own, actually being groomed. You've heard him maybe called the Prince of Egypt. He's being groomed to take over Egypt the first 40 years of his life. And then he has this encounter where he observes an Egyptian slave master abusing his Hebrew slave, right? And what does he do? He takes matters into his own hands, and I don't know how to put it nicely, but he kills the Egyptian slave master, and he buries him in the sand. But then he leaves Egypt, and he goes to Midian, and he meets Jethro, who eventually becomes his father-in-law. And for 40 years, now Moses is a sheep herder. He's raising sheep, working for his father-in-law. And then he has another encounter. He comes across this bush that's on fire, but the bush is not being consumed by the fire. Remember that story? The burning bush? And he hears the voice of God and really there gets the call from God to lead the Israelites out of slavery. And he responds to that. Not too easily or quickly, but he responds to that, and he leads the people, ends up for 40 years through the wilderness until they come to the edge of the promised land. So Moses was on the 40-40-40 plan. My daughter has a dog named Morty. And that brings us to the summary of this mountain mover's life, because through time and through testing and through trials, Moses grew up. And look at what it says in Hebrews 11 now. We'll look at all the verses 23 to 29, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So here's the time to grow up outline for today. All right, it's first of all, the possibility to grow up. Second of all, the path for growing up. And then third of all, the provision for growing up, okay? So let's look first at the possibility to grow up. The possibility to grow up starts with exercising your faith in your family. That reminds me of the red sign that we have, which is Family Strong. It's one of our focus points here at Journey. It's very important that we exercise our faith in our family. Moses literally had the possibility to grow up because of the faith that was exercised in his family. We read this verse earlier, verse 23, Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So, the first expression of faith in Moses' life was actually exercised on his behalf by his parents. He couldn't exercise it. But it took faith for them to do that. There was risk for them to hide this child. Because the Hebrews had become so populated, they were feared. Pharaoh said that, you know, the children had to be killed. The Hebrew males that were born were to be thrown into the Nile River. But they hid him, and it took faith to hide him. His parents exercised that for him. Exodus chapter 2 is where we really see the story, verses 1 to 3. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, so this was a priestly household, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. She wanted to make it waterproof. And then she placed the child in it and put him along the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a second, because these stories become so familiar, and we have the benefit of knowing the end of the story, that we really kind of forget the impact of what this person had done, Moses' mom. I mean, think about it. She put her baby in a basket and put him in a river. That would take an amazing act of faith. This was her child. And she put him in a river. I mean, what was it? Good luck and Godspeed. Down the river you go. But by faith, she was trusting the Lord for a good outcome for her baby. And there was a good outcome, right? Because Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Eventually, he gets reunited with his mom through a miracle, and she's able to raise her child. She was paid to raise her child in the king's household, in Pharaoh's household. Now, let me just, you know, really bring this to an application for you and for me, because it was the faith of a parent that really gave Moses the opportunity to even grow up and know God and follow God and serve God. And so I wonder, how are you expressing your faith to give your family the opportunity to grow up in their faith? Because we need to be growing in faith. That's what our growing together sign is about. Another focus point that we have is, as a follower of Christ, you should be taking steps, maturing, building faith in your life, making progress. This is how we should be living out our faith with Jesus. And how are you doing that in your family? As parents or maybe grandparents, as siblings, how do you encourage faith for those around you, those that are closest to you? I got to thinking about that as I was studying for this, and I thought, how do you encourage faith in your family? And some of it's a no-brainer, but some of it is just, we need to remind ourselves that the first and most important thing that you can do to encourage faith of those around you, especially in your family, is to live out your faith yourself, to take responsibility for your own walk of faith, to be, you know, connecting with God personally and reading scripture yourself and living out your faith, having integrity or wholeness in your walk of faith, so that you're the same person, you know, not just in church, but when you leave church. It's not like you're an angel in church and then you're a devil when you get in your car. You're the same person at church as you are at work. Here's where it really gets hard: in your house, in your marriage, raising your kids, that you're exercising your faith, that your faith is important to you. This is how you encourage faith in those around you. It's by living your own faith. At school, kids, at work, around your siblings, husbands in the way that you love your wives, wives in the way that you respect and love your husbands, children in how you honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live a long life so they don't kill you. I'm serious. As you exercise your faith in your family, it gives those around you an opportunity to grow in their faith. It'll inspire them. It'll encourage them. And listen, I'm preaching to the choir, to those of you in the room, but you also bring your family to a place of worship, to a broader fellowship of God's family. This is how you encourage faith in their life. And then as you come to a place of worship, you actually find your place in how you can encourage God's family. And so it's discovering if you have a fit, and you should have find a fit and exercise your faith in your church family in a way that encourages other people around you. If you want to be a mountain mover and you really want to grow in your faith, then start exercising your faith in your family. That is the first and most important place to do it. It literally gave Moses the chance to grow up. All right, that's the possibility to grow up. Here's the next point, the path for growing up. The path for growing up includes making the right choices. So Moses made some difficult, faith-filled choices. And here was one of them that was really key. Is he could have lived a life of indulgence and pleasure, like his entire life, of luxury and ease. He had position, he had power, he had possession, he had influence. And guess what? He laid that down in order to follow God and serve God. That was not an easy choice. He sacrificed. He faced rejection. Faith enabled him to sacrifice and select God's best for his life. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Now, when I read that verse, I kind of pause at the end because it kind of reveals something about sin that maybe we don't like to talk about, and that is there's pleasure in sin. Okay, let's just admit it. Pleasure in sin. Now, sin has pleasure only for a season. In other words, it's short-lived. If you take the bait, you're going to get bit in the end. Okay? But that's why it's tempting. Moses really could have had a life filled with the pleasures of sin. But he chose to walk away from that, to turn his back on that, and to follow God. It reminds me of a quote I heard years ago. It goes like this: sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Moses gave up those pleasures. There's other things that Moses gave up. We see it in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. This comes from the martyr Stephen. If you read his story in Acts 7, Stephen, I mean, this is kind of amazing. As he's being martyred, he's sort of giving an Old Testament lesson. And he talks about some of the heroes of the faith. He talks about Abraham. He talks about Moses. And this is what Stephen said about Moses as he's being martyred. In Acts 7, 22, it says, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and in action. In other words, Moses was being prepared to be the next leader of Egypt, and he walked away from that. I know I've shared this story before, but it kind of fits pretty well here, so I'll share it again. Back when I was in Bible school, getting ready to go into the ministry, I started kind of later in life, and so I was already married, we already had our kids, and my goal was to get through Bible school without having a big bill at the end, you know, a big student loan, because we were going into the ministry. And so I went to school kind of on the slow plan, and eventually I was working full-time, going to school part-time. I was managing apartment buildings, and as I stepped into full-time work, I was getting promotions along the way, and it was working out good. I became the manager of an apartment property in the Twin Cities, a nice property, about 300 apartment units. It was a good job. And then I got a promotion to become like a district property manager, where I was overseeing many properties in the Twin Cities and St. Cloud area. And then right about at that time, the church we were attending, Bethel Christian Fellowship, it's a fellowship church of this church, their youth pastor was getting ready to go to the mission field. If I mention the name, you might recognize it. His name was Steve Rasmussen, okay? And as he was getting ready to go to the mission field, the church board, I was actually one of the elders at the church at the time, they approached me. They knew I was just finishing Bible school, and they said, hey, would you be willing to apply for and even step into the youth pastor job here at the church? And right about at that exact same time, I got a phone call kind of out of the blue from a guy by the name of Stuart Nolan. Stuart Nolan was the founder and CEO of Stuart Corporation, which was one of the largest property management firms in the Twin Cities area. And he called me up and he said, hey, there's someone that works here that knows you and they say I should talk to you. I'd like to take you out to lunch and have a chat with you. And so I decided to do that, and we went out to lunch, and then he brought me to his office, which was this beautiful building right along Mississippi River in St. Paul. His office looked over the river, and basically sat down, and he offered me this amazing job to work for his company. I was like, wow. Well, it wasn't long after that that our leadership team at the church had a retreat weekend, and on that retreat weekend, they officially offered me the position of youth pastor. And then they showed me this salary package. And my heart just dropped. I literally almost cried. And the retreat was over, and I went home, and I talked to my wife. And honestly, I kind of expected Vicky to have maybe the same reaction I did and just would be like, listen, we have a family. We had just bought a house in St. Paul. How in the world are we going to make it? You know, how can you step into a job like that? But instead, Vicky had a completely different reaction. As a matter of fact, the first thing she said to me is, why did you go out to lunch with Stuart Nolan in the first place? But when I shared with her what had happened at the retreat, she looked at me and she said, you know, if God is calling you to do this, then he'll make a way for it to happen. That's so awesome. And I'm so glad I made that choice, because now I'm standing right here before you. When God calls you to do something, he'll make a way. I mean, Moses knew what God wanted him to do. He knew the path he was supposed to take. But that doesn't mean that the decision was easy. But he decided to follow God and God's call on his life. And the path for growing up includes making the right choices. It reminds me of a verse in Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul in verse 7 and 8 said, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Is there anything in your life that is getting in the way of your relationship with Jesus? If you want to grow up in him and take steps of faith, it's time to make a good choice. The next point for the path for growing up is the path for growing up includes going through difficult circumstances. Hebrews 11 tells us that Moses persevered. Well, what did he persevere through? Well, here's one of the first things. He was leading the entire population of Israel through the wilderness. He was like the leader. The buck stopped with Moses, okay? And it was not an easy thing. Just imagine the logistics as they were moving along, you know, having to pick up, it was the great camping trip, pick up all their tents and move to the next place. Moses was in charge. And then you got to feed all those people and you got to make sure they're getting water to drink. And were they an easy group to lead? I'm not so sure about that. Now, they had food to eat because God miraculously provided for them. Remember, at night, it's like the dew would come down, and then the white, flaky, crusty stuff was on the ground. It was called manna. By the way, that name in the Hebrew literally means, what is it? Because I think that's what the people said every time they went to look at it. What is that? But they ate that, and it nourished them. But eventually, they became dissatisfied with that. And they began to complain and grumble and demand that they would get meat to eat. And who did the responsibility fall upon? It fell upon Moses. He had to persevere through that. Look at what Numbers chapter 11 says. Numbers 11, 10 to 15. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. You know what? It's like they all went out to the entrance of their tent so that Moses could hear them. Wailing and complaining. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, now Moses is kind of whining here, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing on me. Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. Is this how you're going to treat me? If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. Kill me now. If I found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. Moses was persevering through the difficulty of leading all these people through the wilderness. And don't you remember when they left Egypt, they had the threat of the power and armies of Egypt around them, not knowing if Pharaoh would change his mind, which, by the way, he did. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered, Moses persevered, that's how he grew, because he saw him who is invisible. Which, by the way, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, this is a thread throughout the chapter that those that exercise faith believed in things that were invisible. Matter of fact, Hebrews 10:6, I think it is, says that by faith you must believe that God exists, even though you can't see him, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Do you live yourself like you believe in the invisible? As I was thinking about that, I thought, well, what are those invisible things we believe in? Well, we believe, as we gather together here, that God is with us. Jesus said, when you gather in my name, there I will be with you. We believe that God gives us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to come alongside of us. We believe that. We can't see that. Hebrews chapter 1 actually says, I think I wrote down which verse it is in case you want to check me out. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, says that God sends his angels as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation to serve them. Do you believe that? That angels are around. So we believe in the invisible, and here's what it does. It encourages us to persevere. We believe that when we pray, God actually hears us, and that he answers us, and that he responds to us. It's invisible, but we do it anyway. We believe that Jesus is coming back again, and that encourages us, and that he's going to come back to the planet Earth, and he's going to make all things new. We believe that when we leave this life, that's not the end of everything. It's the beginning of something new, that we step into eternal life with God. And that encourages us to persevere even now. It's believing in things that are invisible that help us grow. Do you live like you believe in the invisible? You have to see the invisible to do the impossible. The path for growing up helps you become a mountain mover as you exercise your faith in the invisible, as you persevere through difficult circumstances. Okay, here's the provision for growing up. The provision for growing up, and here's kind of the first little thing about that, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. By faith, the blood was applied. In the Moses story, we see this in Hebrews 11:28. By faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Now, because we're so familiar with the story, I think it loses its impact a little bit because we can see the end, right? We know that the Israelites eventually were delivered from slavery. We know that the death angel passed over. But I just want you to think about this for a second. Moses was told, this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to tell the people to do. Sacrifice a lamb, keep some of the blood, and then take that blood and apply it over the doorpost of your house, because there's going to be a death angel, and when the death angel sees the blood, he's going to pass over your house so that no one in your house will die. None of your animals will die. Okay? But it would take faith to, it might sound or seem silly, I think that Moses knew there was power in the blood because they were doing sacrifices, but to take the blood and put it, like paint it on your house? So do you know that Moses had to do that by faith? And the Israelite people had to do that by faith. They had to apply the blood. You read about where it actually happened in Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. It says, on that same night, this is from the voice of the Lord now, on that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Listen, this foreshadowed another lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's also power in Jesus' blood. And we need to apply that blood to our lives. As we trust in God that the sacrifice of Jesus, as he hung on the cross, as the blood dripped from the wounds on his head, from the wounds on his hands and feet, dripping down to the ground, that somehow when you look to Jesus for forgiveness for your sins, that blood has power and it washes your sins clean. As you put your trust in him. There's power in the blood for forgiveness. Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We find forgiveness through the blood of Christ, the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. He paid the penalty for our sin. He got what he didn't deserve so that you could get what you don't deserve. We also overcome the enemy of our soul somehow through the blood of Christ. It says that in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12:11. They, the saints of God, the followers of Christ, they overcame him, the enemy of their soul, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There's power in the blood as you put your trust in God. And, this is important, this is how we're able to come to God in prayer. We take it for granted that we can just call out to God in our prayers. Wasn't that way in the Old Testament? Right? There was the one day a year, the Day of Atonement. The priest would go into the Holy of Holies. If he did everything just right, he would succeed. But today, you and I have the amazing privilege of entering God's presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, will you let the impact of that just really resonate in your mind and heart today? It's because of the blood of Jesus that you can come to him in prayer, and he hears you, and he responds. The provision for growing up, there's power in the blood. And then here's the last point, the provision for growing up as we take steps of faith. Here's the deal. You've got a part to play in growing in your faith. You have to take the next step. Even in the midst of difficulties and challenges, you have to take those steps of faith yourself. God won't necessarily pick you up and put you on the next place. You take those steps. That's what the Israelites had to do. Hebrews 11:29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Okay, again, we have the benefit of knowing the end of the story. Right? We know that the Israelites successfully got through the Red Sea, got to the other side, started making their way to the Promised Land. But can you imagine being there, being one of them? And if you read the story, you know that the Egyptian army decided to come after them. And God, by his miraculous power, put a wall of fire up to keep the Egyptian army from reaching the Israelites. But check it out. They're facing the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is behind them, wanting to get them. And now, suddenly, there's a miracle. And God somehow parts the waters. I don't know what that looked like. Maybe it's something like Charlton Heston's The Ten Commandments. I don't know if you've ever saw that movie. But somehow the water was rushing, you know, sideways, and there was ground. But they had to step onto that ground. And as they walked through, they had to take every step trusting that as they were getting further and further into this sea of walls of water, that God was going to deliver them through. It took faith. Now, I don't know for you what your walls of water are or the faith walk that you're on, but there might be something threatening in your life. There might be something pressing in on you, and you're just waiting for it to wash you over. You're fearing that it might. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe it's a relational thing. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. But you, if you're going to grow up in God, you got to continue to take the next step of faith, trusting in the Lord, trusting in his deliverance, trusting in his provision and his protection as you move forward. That's exercising your faith in the things that you're going through, trusting that God's going to help you. You're taking steps of faith. Moses was a mountain mover because he continued to take steps. Ultimately, it led to freedom and to the promised land. So as we conclude, I'm going to ask that the worship team come back up, and we're going to sing one more song. But as I was praying and preparing, I've been working on this message actually for a couple weeks, and I really felt like the way to close this, and I really felt like it was like the moving of the Spirit, that there would probably be somebody either coming into this service or maybe listening online that would really need to hear this. So if you could just engage with me as we close. Perhaps one of those hurdles that you have to get over in order to grow in your faith is a hurdle of disappointment. Maybe you feel like you have disappointed God. Maybe you feel like there's something that's happened in your life and it's separated you from God and you've maybe gone too far. But I'm here to tell you today that this is the word of the Lord, for if this applies to you, you haven't gone too far. The Lord is here to meet with you. If you take a step towards him, he's going to take a step towards you. I want you to think about the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews 11. They were normal human being people. I think we get this idea in our minds that they're somehow so super spiritual. Moses had a lot of problems in life. Okay, I mean, he murdered somebody. He hesitated when God called him to lead the people of Israel. He grumbled and complained before the Lord more than once. How about the other heroes of faith? I mean, there's some names on the list that kind of boggle my mind. Samson? Have you read the Samson story? You know who else is on the list? Jephthah. That may not be a familiar name to you. Look up the Jephthah story in the Old Testament. I don't get it. But somehow God honored him. And he's on the list. And if those folks can make the list, guess what? You can make the list. I can make the list. And there's nothing that you have done in your life that can separate you so far from God that the blood of Jesus cannot reunite you even today. Come to God in humility. Ask for his forgiveness. Make a new start. I don't know who this is speaking to today, but I'm just encouraging you today. It's time to grow up. And the best life, the most fulfilling life, is following Jesus. So God, thank you for giving us the privilege of knowing you and following you. Thank you for even giving us not just the path for growing up, but the provision for growing up. Jesus, help us to tap into that today. I believe, God, that today the Holy Spirit has sown hope into the hearts of your people. Would you just help that little spark to turn into a flame and even a blazing fire as we leave this place? Lord, that we would live out our faith in every aspect of our life, in our marriages and families, at school, in the workplace, in our church family. Help us, God. Help us to grow up in you, to make the difficult but right and proper choices, to persevere through the difficult circumstances, that they would even shape us and mold us and make us into what you want us to be, Jesus. So help us, God. We put our trust in you. We put our hope in you today. It's in your powerful name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, you can hang out for that. Go out and live your life for Jesus this week.